You're listening to the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com.
I haven't accidentally not recorded part of a show for years.
It's just like
okay,
jinx
Peter,
today.
Peter, you can just say what I said before.
What I said before.
Oh, at least I didn't go. We didn't go too far in, but I do apologize to Peter.
Don't worry about it. Everything's cool.
All right. How about Peter? You just take a break for now, and then I'll come back to you again.
Not a problem. Go ahead.
Hello, and welcome to the Webcomic Beacon, where I forget to record the podcast.
Take two.
Yes. At webcomicbeacon.com, I'm Vess. And all right, so this week, it's all about, a lot of cartoonists these days like to use tablets and a bigger tool that people are liking to use these days, and it's becoming more and more affordable, are screened tablets for their artistic endeavors. And so I posed a question on the Facebook page Webcomic Creators, which has been a great resource for gathering intel from fellow cartoonists and without behind a paywall. And sometimes I've been posing questions on there, things that might be a good idea for a podcast episode. And so I've gotten a few people with me to basically discuss our experiences with various tablets, particularly that with screened tablets, because it is a much larger investment. And so perhaps some perspective will give other people a better idea of which investment may be best for them. And, ooh, that was loud. So, oh, stupid Facebook giving me notification updates. I've got a few people here with me. We have Peter Stormageddon. Welcome to the show.
Greetings to the planet Earth.
I do apologize, as in he went through his whole spiel before I realized that I wasn't recording. So we will get back to him with his probably well rehearsed now experiences. We also have Chris Howard from Chris Howard. I'm tripping over myself. Damn it. We have Chris Howard from Dressed for Success at egestacomics.com. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hello.
We also have Tom Pratt from Shadowbinders at shadowbinders.com. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
I was better earlier when I thought I was recording. But
déjà vu.
Yes, I do thank you all once again for being here once again. And so we're going to go ahead and we'll come back to Peter and let him rest his vocal cords. We're going to start with Chris Howard with his comic Dressed for Success. So tell us about your comic first before we get into your tablet experiences.
DFS has a long history on it. It goes back to 1991, although in some ways even older than that. My best friend and I, Jeff Wasson, just finished our first year of post-secondary education. I was at university, not telling them, but I was studying comics, and he was at Sheridan College taking animation. And summer hit, and we were out of school, and we said, you know, we're seeing all of these other people doing comics, but sort of black and white, photocopied. You just draw them, copy them, fold them and staple them and give them away, sell them, go to cons with them and everything. And thought, yeah, we want to be like Dishman and Lethargic Comics and do that. And we had these couple of guys that we had created even before that, a number of years earlier, and thought, well, we could just use them. Eventually, we want to do something really cool like superheroes. But for now, we'll do this funny story with these two guys on the run from the space mafia. Yeah, that'll be good. So we did like a 16-page story, and we photocopied it, and we collated it, and we stapled it with a big stapler I stole from the library at school. And we sold them to friends and had a local comic shop that agreed to sell them. And made little display boxes. I worked at a bookstore, so I had it on the counter there. And we went, okay, should we do another one? Yeah, okay. And what do we do? Well, we could pick up where that last one left off with that cliffhanger, literally. And then we did issue 2 and then issue 3. And suddenly we stopped being so interested in doing superheroes and found ourselves doing 25 issues of this black and white mini comic over the preceding next couple of years. We were actually looking at, you know, going big time, like all those other cool big time black and white comics, because this is back in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
And wouldn't you know it, we reached our 25th issue and that sort of natural storyline cutoff point and had started the next couple issues of the big sized one when the industry killed itself.
Shot itself in the foot. Went,
oh, yeah, in the head, not just in the foot, in the head. So we stepped back and sort of went our own ways with our own lives and got busy with life. And then 15 years sort of later, Jeff had been actually living on the other side of the country. He came back and actually stayed with us for a while. And we looked at each other and went, you know, there's this web thing. And that seems to be the cool way kids are doing comics nowadays. And we say kids because we're getting up there. So we said, can we do this? Can we bring it back? And we've made a couple of, you know, attempts at restarting it, but it never quite came to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, yeah, let's go for it. So what do we do? And we had some, you know, tons of story ideas that have been sitting for years and said, well, where do we start off? Do we pick up right where we left off with the story we were going to do or something new? And Crystal Skull had come out in, you know, the past year or two at that point and went, yeah, we could finally do that Indiana Jones story that's been sitting. Let's do that. Cause you know, he's back in the, in the zeitgeist. That was air quotes. We could finally do that. That'll be fun. So that's what we decided to do. And the big change was, well, it's online now. So color's free. It doesn't cost you more to post in color than in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go for that. So we've always had an interesting working relationship. We write together. Early on, the art chores were very mixed, but we settled into we write together. Jeff does all the line work. I used to do Zip-A-Tone, rub it down, cut it out with an X-Acto knife, that kind of stuff. If we ever did posters or any sort of marketing materials or anything that did have color, that always fell to me. So it made natural sense to try and balance the workload and just our natural inclinations that I would do the color.
Mm-hmm.
So I was using whatever computer I happen to be sitting at and a mouse and, you know, selecting things and expanding by 3 pixels and the whole bit. But we came to do, we wanted to do some promo covers before we actually started the story.
Mm-hmm.
And we were actually doing teasers and joke ones. We did like 5 posters that were not actually what the story was going to be for people who had remembered us from back in the 90s. We did like a Final Crisis parody. We did an Quantum of Solace parody. And any of them could have been appropriate for a DFS story. It's like, yeah, I could see how that would be exactly the sort of thing they would do. And then the final one was this Indiana Jones riff based on the teaser poster for Crystal Skull.
Mm-hmm.
Well, colored it in flats and went, yeah, but this is based on a Drew Struzan painting. It has to look like Drew Struzan or the joke isn't all the way there. So I'm trying to replicate his...
is that sort of like over-painted, realistic?
Well, it's painted and then he goes back in with pencil crayons and all sorts of other materials and mm-hmm. he makes all these little hatchings and rim lighting and everything. And I'm trying to do that with a mouse and killing myself.
Oh.
Well, I had an old Wacom Graphire. It was actually so old that it was a serial port connection. There you go. And actually, Jeff bought it for me. He had one as well. But even still, I found it kind of hard because my inclination would be like, oh, well, I've got to come at this angle to do this hatching. I'll just take the Graphire and turn it on 45 and go, no, that doesn't work. So I'm trying to get the angle of the strokes right. And it's like, make a stroke. No, that's not right. Undo. That's not right. Undo. No, no. Okay, there it is. Okay, now I'll quickly make all the strokes in that direction that have to be that way. Okay. It worked. I got the effect I wanted, but it was just, you know, there was that disconnect that people talk about. And it was really frustrating. So when it came to coloring this story, stuck with flats. It was quicker. It was easier. And I just thought also, it was the right look because we'd gone from, you know, black and white. It was cartoony art. Stick with flat colors.
Mm-hmm.
We finished that story and we're starting the next one. I went, okay, we've always been about pushing ourselves and trying different things. I want to try pushing the color a little more. But if I'm going to be able to do that, I need a tool that I can really work with. So I started looking around and I, you know, knew about the Cintiq thing and wow, that's lovely, but they're way expensive and you're strapped down to this thing that's got an arm bolted to a table and like, wow, that's not the way I want to work. Cause I've been running around with a portable version of Photoshop on a key that I could sit at any computer, plug in and start working. So this mobility and this ability to work anywhere really appealed to me. Another friend of ours, Mark Oakley, was working with one of those laptops where the screen flips up, turns around, slaps back down, and you can work on that. So I was like, oh, okay, that might be the right kind of thing. So I was reading all sorts of articles and looking at alternatives. And someone had written this great big long piece about Cintiq alternatives. And one of the ones listed was this tablet called, it's a company called Motion Computing, the LE1600.
Mm-hmm.
So I started doing my research on it. And the company is aimed more at an industrial usage. They're quite ruggedly built and they're intended more for nurses, police. I saw somebody in a grocery store with one of these doing inventory. Like that's their intended use, but the artistic community had discovered them and went, wow, these are great. Because you can slap Photoshop on there. You can put Manga Studio and it runs. It's meant to be driven with a tablet or with a stylus. The one I actually ended up picking up didn't even come with its original stylus. It's got a little HP, looks more like a regular ballpoint pen than the sculpted Wacom style stylus.
Mm-hmm.
But I bought it for $200 from a used laptop place.
Oh, nice.
And it was funny when I went in, she said, yeah, we get lots of people here from Sheridan College. I'm like, uh-huh. Yeah, the art community has found out about these things. And it's a cheap, portable, draw right on the screen. It takes a bit of noodling, but that suits me. I'm somebody who gets, you know, a PlayStation portable from the Hawk Shop and then starts modding it and saying, what else can I do with this thing? You know, I get a brand new phone and it's like, okay, how do I hack this? And what more could it be doing that it's not doing? So, you know, I'm taking the back off and putting more RAM into it. And again, Mark actually had done a lot of tweaking of this laptop that he uses. So he'd written some scripts and found some workarounds. So took a little bit of noodling with it, but I love working on it, except that the battery is starting to fail on it now. I was coloring on the subway. I've actually got photos from this past summer where I'm coloring up in Algonquin Park on our vacation.
Mm.
Mostly because I love the idea of sitting in Algonquin Park facing a giant lake coloring on this tablet. I just think it's funny.
I should mention that the article that you posted is from 2005 and its MSRP was $2,200. So so that's in 2005. And then I'm not sure when the big screens. I mean, this was 11.7 by 9.6 inches. So it's pretty big. I'm not sure when the Cintiq came out actually with its larger sizes, but so it was at least comparable. But of course, if you can find these things used, this is one thing I say to other people. It's like if you're going to buy one of these big expensive things and then you find out you don't like it, you know, they're resellable. They are.
Mm. Yeah. It appealed to me. I like the buy it used. I like the hack around with it until you get something that does what you want it to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my personality. So
awesome. Is that still what you're using?
Yep. I'm planning on, much like I do with, you know, like a car, driving it till it drops. When it dies, I've started doing my research now at what's out there. I've looked at the Surface, actually went into the Best Buy, plugged my little key in, but it wasn't the one with the stylus, so I couldn't really tell if it was going to work or not.
Oh, okay.
Samsung's got a line Atives, I think, that looked like they might be, you know, what I get. Yep. Down the road if this thing dies. But I liked it so much and was bragging so much about it that, you know, Jeff came over, tried it out. He went and got one from the same place. So I'm trying to pressure him slowly but surely. It's like, okay, I know you don't want to make the jump sort of hard, cold turkey from, you know, pen and paper and scan it in the way we've always done kind of thing. But sit on your couch and just sketch on it. So he's done some thumbnailing on it. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, try and do like a couple pinups because we want to do those anyway. Just experiment on it. Get comfortable with it. And then we can make that leap. Because I my own experience drawing on the thing, yeah, it could really help with the speed and the comfort. And
So what are you looking at? What when this thing craps out, might you get another one, another motion computing? Or what might you be looking at?
As I said, I'm looking at this. I think it's a Samsung line.
Okay.
I've got a little scrap of paper in my pocket that tells what it is.
So you are looking at, like, not a tablet PC, but, like, one of the tablets that are going to be... Yeah, we're going to try to get some more reviews later on after these come out and see what people actually, when they get their hands on it. Hopefully I'll add that to the show.
Samsung ATIV Smart PC, the 700T model looks good. It's the same sort of thing, although it does have a snap-in keyboard, mm-hmm. but it's a tablet. You draw on the screen. It runs Windows 8. So,
well, yeah. Well, all right. Let's see. Hopefully,
can Peter go now?
Can what now?
Can Peter go now? Poor Peter.
Well,
that's fine.
I was going to go with Tom since he's actually waited the longest to speak.
Ah, fair.
And then I'll come back to Peter at the end. Yep, he says, Peter says go with Tom. So, all right, Tom.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm you already asked me that.
I know. Well, I thought I'd ask you again just to make sure that we,
well, we're on a little bit more of a roll, so I'm doing better.
Okay,
so,
all right.
So, as with before, tell us about your comic Shadowbinders.
There's not much to tell, really. My wife and I work on it together. Steampunky type comic. It's got some romantic comedy, and that's about it. Airships and magic and humor and junk like that.
I got to tell you, your pitch needs working on.
I know. I'll tell you that the thing is, I get so tired. Like, we go to conventions, and I have to lay out the spiel. That when somebody asks me more and it's outside of a convention, I'm just like, I don't know. It's that thing I do every day that I'm just trying to get pages done, you know? And so I just kind of blank out there. But no, we have a lot of fun with it. So people seem to enjoy it.
Well, right. How long have you been doing this?
We're on our third year, I think, now. Before that, we used to work on Disney comics. And so this is kind of a jump, you know, from Mickey Mouse to doing this sort of thing. We have a lot of fun. And I mean, as far as digital art goes, I've only recently gotten into doing things digitally. I used to always color digitally, but, drawing digitally has only been the last like year or so.
Okay. So, let's go ahead and start with your, did you start with non-screen tablets, or just went from mouse to a screen tablet?
Yeah, I used to color comics professionally. I used to color them with a mouse, back in the good old days.
Wow.
And, God, it was horrible. It was absolutely dreadful. Paint bucket.
yeah.
Undo. And, get that pencil tool in there and get in real close. And that's how you, seal off the leaks and whatnot. But I used to have an old, and I don't remember, was some kind of a Wacom tablet. And, the other guys had mentioned about the serial ports, and I couldn't even tell you what it was called, but I had one back in the 90s and it was absolutely terrible. I tried drawing with it, and I'm like, I can't do this. You know, again, that disconnect issue. It's like, I just cannot do this, the hell with it. So it sat in a box for like 5 years, and I sold it to somebody for $25. I think it was like a $1,000 tablet or something.
Uh-oh.
I never really developed a taste for working digitally because everybody talks about how much time it saved. I didn't find it to save time for me because I found myself having to go back and redo a line because I couldn't get it to look the way that it would if I drew it by hand.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until recently, especially with the webcomic schedule, and then I work, full-time job too. I'm like, I got to do something to speed things up. I have to do something to speed things up. I'm going to have to take a look at this digital process because I'm spending hours just going in, scanning the artwork up, cleaning it up, everything else, and it's just getting ridiculous. So the first, well, I had a Bamboo, which was, you know, decent for coloring, but again, not for drawing because I need to be drawing on the screen. So I tried drawing a couple pages of that, and it took me freaking, God, I want to say like 15 hours, I think, to draw a page. It was ridiculous. And again, it was, you know, I couldn't turn it. I couldn't turn the screen. I couldn't get the, you know, it was functional, but not practical. So a couple of years later, I got a Lenovo ThinkPad tablet, which is one of those little doohickeys that I think Chris was talking about, where you flip the screen and you draw a
convertible.
That. Yeah. Yeah. And it was nice. Now, a lot of people said don't buy one of those because it doesn't have pressure sensitivity and it doesn't out of the box, but you can actually install Bamboo drivers on it. Mm-hmm. And once you do that, it worked beautifully. And I think I picked that thing up on eBay for was it about $500 or $600, and it worked great. It was nice because it was portable. And now the only thing is I had to kind of simplify my art style because the screen was so much smaller. It was like a 10-inch screen, but that was fine because I think my stuff was kind of over-rendered anyway. And so we used that for about a year, and then it just died. It like died, just completely cooked. I think I had a YouTube video of it like melting down, and that was the end of it. And I'm okay, well, maybe I need to bite the bullet since now I'm into this digital thing and I know it can work, and go buy the Cintiq. Well, the problem is, you know, with a free comic, you don't want to plunk, you know, $2,000 into a tablet, you know. And I'm like, there's got to be some other alternative. So I asked around. I had a friend, Tiffany Ross, actually, who said that they had these tablets out called the Yanovas. And I'm like, what? And Yanova, and I bought a Yanova MSP19, which is a 19. It's the same size as a Cintiq. Beautiful display. Actually, I would say the display is better than a Cintiq, but there was one huge problem. I was working in Photoshop. Doesn't like Photoshop at all. It, at least this particular version of the tablet didn't. So I tried using Manga Studio, and I just absolutely hated Manga Studio 4. I really didn't like it. I thought everything looked really cold and mechanical, and I just didn't like it. But that was the only thing that worked on the tablet. Well, then of course, you know, I buy this thing, and they're pretty cheap. They're like $600, and so I bought it. And I'm like, well, you know, I'll make do, or I'll go back to drawing by hand, and just use it to color with or something. Well, then they came out with another version a couple months later. Of course, the MSP19U, which fixed all the issues with Photoshop for the same price. And I'm like, ah, shoot. Of course they did. But then along came Manga Studio 5. And I got a copy of Manga Studio 5, and that's what I've been using for the last couple months, and it works beautifully. Mm. And actually, I would say as far as the coloring tools, I think it shames Photoshop because it's designed just for comics. And that was the biggest complaint I had with Manga Studio 4 was I really didn't like the coloring tools. I thought it looked really cheesy and MS Paint-like, and I just didn't like it very much. But no, this thing is fantastic. I mean, you put the Yanova for $600 with Manga Studio for what, like $60-$80, and it just sings. And, you know, I've had no complaints. I mean, I've been playing around a little bit with, you know, some of the different brush settings and whatnot, but actually this is the closest to drawing by hand, I think, that I've been able to accomplish with the tablet. So okay. I may change my mind next year, but I'm pretty happy with the setup I have now. So
awesome. Let's see here. I guess I got to go back to Chris and ask, what is your drawing program actually that you've been using?
I've just been playing around with Manga Studio 5. I tried for, and while I like the concept, the menus and so forth, just couldn't quite get the feel for it. I've watched all the videos for 5 now, and I've just been starting to experiment with it. There's a sketch group that meets Wednesday mornings, so I go in for my 15-minute, you people are painting for 3 hours, I'll be here for 15 minutes, do, there, done. And really like the feel of it. As I said, I'm trying to convince my partner to give it a try and move over to it, because he tends to ink with fine markers, and he'll sort of do the inside of the stroke, the outside of the stroke, and fill it in. It's like, no, one pass with a flexible, and it fill. There's your stroke. Yeah, come on. So.
Okay.
I heard.
He used to ink with tech pens, so that's what he got used to.
Okay.
He understood the line weight and was great at it, but he achieved it in an odd fashion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that reminds me of Don Rosa, who does the Duck comics. Yeah, he was actually, his background was in architecture. So he draws Duck comics with technical pens, and like when he does the eyes, I mean, it takes him forever. People are like, why is he so slow with these comics? It's like, you don't know how he draws them. He actually goes in, like when he draws the heads on Huey, Dewey, and Louie, he'll actually go take like a quarter or a template or something, actually go around with his old technical pens, and that's how he would draw. And he even admits that that's probably not the best way to do it, but those are the tools he's most comfortable with.
Yeah.
I do want to mention, I did hear some stuff about the Surface Pro, and I heard that Photoshop doesn't particularly work too well on it. It's just not fast enough and not efficient enough. But they do say that Sketchbook Pro, if you like Sketchbook Pro, there you go, basically. So there are...
Which kills me, because the Surface is this brand new thing with a great fast processor and great RAM, and it's running the latest version of Windows, and I'm working on XP on this old hardware, and I have no problems. So what's going on?
Well, hopefully I'll find some more people to get some more opinions on those tablet-y sort of things in the future. But for now, we do got to take a break, and when we come back, we'll... have Peter retell his story, and I'll record it this time.
Oh, dear.
This program is part of the Webcast Beacon Network at webcastbeacon.com. You can find and follow us on Tumblr, Facebook, Google+, and Twitter. Just search for Webcast Beacon. Have thoughts or questions on an episode? You can leave us a voicemail at 1-320-310-0922 or email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity in the creative process since 2007. Comics, art, and writing discussions, interviews, news, and reviews. At webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
All right. So now we're back, and we're going to... Peter, please regale us with your journey through the tablets, and also tell us what you, since you don't have an actual website for me to point people to see your work, tell us a little bit about what you use tablets for.
Okay, my experience with tablets. Well, I'll tell you what I do right now. Part-time wise, I do photography work for a studio, events, weddings, bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah, quinceañeras, and whatever they could prostitute me out for, I'll do. And mainly, I use a tablet for photo retouching, people's acnes, any bad shots, and that's it. It's basically bread and butter work, nothing glamorous. But my background or my past, when I was in high school, I basically saved up about $200, and $200 is a lot, for a Calcomp 12x18, 11x17 tablet. It was a cheaper alternative than Wacom, the big brand name. I later found out the Calcomp tablet used 4 pin size battery, the watch batteries, but I did not know how much they cost a piece. So they were about $15-$20 every time I changed batteries. Huh. So that was pretty disappointing. Yeah, it was sad. But it was $200 versus $600 and $800 for a equivalent size Wacom. So it had the old ADB bus, Apple Desktop Bus port, is a round little thing. And that's how old this, when I bought it originally. So I moved on to a later, I wanted to try my hand at a tablet again, because I saw these beautiful artwork from Japan, fan arts from Japan, that if these people could do it, I should be able to do it. If they had the guts to actually muscle through getting accustomed with it, I should. So I bought a small tablet, like 4x6 Wacom. It felt decent, but it just, there was always been this disconnect without looking at a screen, your hand in some alien position on a tablet. And also the size of the tablet had a disconnect to the size of the screen, so your line proportion does not match up to what you see when you draw. And of course, it was mentioned that when you turn a sheet of paper to get the proper stroke angle, you can't turn a tablet and a monitor for the same stroke angle.
Right.
So the little tablet was a better experience, but it was still a disconnect, something alien. I moved up to a 9x12 Intuos 2, and it felt a lot better because I had a larger monitor. It almost matched the size, but it's still that disconnect was still there. Later, I discovered about that time, my workplace, a part-time workplace, had bought a Cintiq 21. It was gold. It was beautiful. It was like running through a few daisies and, you know, sunlight and, you know, anyway, it was good. I could not look back, but somewhere around that time, I discovered some great people that actually done some DIY Cintiq. Facing with the same problem, they did a DIY Cintiq, and the URL's posted. And so I followed this site for quite some time, and I decided then to buy a 11x17, 12x18 Intuos 3 from Wacom, and used it was about $200. And that's the tablet I'm going to use to build my own Cintiq. And that's about my life story. So right now I'm mulling through a day job. Part-time I'm doing photography work, and I'm hoping to transition my life from my day job to doing comics eventually. Okay.
And we'll get those links for people that are interested. We'll get links to everything that's been mentioned here for people in the show notes so they can check things out as well. The build your own Cintiq thing is interesting sounding, but I don't know if I have the patience for that. But we'll certainly link that. That's at bongofish.co.uk. And I know another... another thing that some people can do is as a possibility is if they're looking for like an all-in-one sort of thing is I'm not sure if they still make it, but there was a website out there where you could get your MacBook Pro and your Cintiq, and they'll combine it into basically a laptop. You know, it wouldn't be like a convertible thing, but you'd get the computer there and the Cintiq there all in one.
Oh yeah, I remember seeing that.
So if anybody's ever actually used that, I would like to know what their experiences are. But ever since the MacBook Pros have changed and designed, I'm not even sure if they're still around anymore. But I know that everybody, you know, it's like a lot of the there's like different levels of which of these sort of tablet PCs and such are out there. And a lot of times, for the most part, it seems like the majority is marketed towards a general regular consumer versus, like, say, a professional artist. So we're constantly waiting for, like, why hasn't a Wacom ever, like, released, like, a real tablet of, like, a laptop of theirs, which, you know, because it's like, yeah, you want to, if you have a giant Cintiq, it's not very portable. I've tried to bring my Cintiq around and hook it up to my laptop. There are too many parts to that thing. Yeah. It's just not practical. So that is something that seems to be the market is now starting to provide more. Give a little bit more options. It's starting to get there. Looking at more like not like a PC level sort of computing, but like tablets and such. So we'll be keeping an eye on that for a while. So, I think it's my turn to tell my story, is it? Do I get to talk? Like I have a trouble talking. But, a year or two ago, I was starting to think, okay, what am I going to want to get? And I did end up investing in the Cintiq at one point. I would almost say is like if you're going to get something like that, from Wacom, check Amazon.com. Every once in a while, there's like a model that's starting to go out, and then you can get it cheaper than if you get it on the website. So I got a pretty decent price for my Cintiq 12-inch diagonal, and I should go back to the beginning. I remember my first not tablet. It was. I thought I'd try to save some. Oh, something I could save some time. I'm not going to get a tablet. Hey, look at this thing. It's this pen thing. It has like a little roller on the bottom. Oh, and look, it has like an RF signal thing you have to put on your desk's infrared signal that you have to put on your desk so it can see the pen. Oh my God, it was like terrible. Good thing I didn't pay too much for it, but it was absolute crap. And then eventually I did get a Bamboo, and I couldn't draw with it at all. And anyone who's listened to the show knows that I've absolutely loved it for coloring, doing shadings and things like that. That's way easier than a mouse, totally. But I wanted to step it up, and so I managed to get a Cintiq for pretty cheap, and I've been and really, really loving it. Still not too very good on doing lines, and it's like, as when I go to conventions and I'm on panels, it's a tool, and every tool needs to be mastered in a way. I've seen people that have done fantastic artwork with a mouse and MS Paint. Just incredible artwork. And it's all about tool mastery at that point. And that's how you got to think. It's not going to instantly make you better. It's a tool. You need to figure out how to use the tool. But, you know, my laptops are just kind of getting, they're just not all that great anymore. And I was thinking about for a portable option. So I started thinking, researching a whole lot about what I could possibly use. And I was also thinking, well, at conventions, I could certainly use sort of like a regular Android tablet or something like that for like showing pictures on a screen or something like that. So I was looking for like this multiple sort of use device, or maybe I should split my investment and get two different devices because I did need a new laptop. So I was already in the market for something that's probably going to cost at least $1,000. And so I started looking at the Fujitsu convertible laptops and the Lenovo ThinkPad and other options out there as far as what I could possibly use and convenient. And what I did end up going with is the Lenovo ThinkPad. I got X220 a tablet. It's convertible, mm-hmm. convertible tablet with a swivel screen. It's the touch screen, not the glass one, because I wanted to be able to do pan and zooms with my fingers. It does do two-finger touch sensitivity as well as have a pen, and it does use Wacom pen technology. And it doesn't come preloaded with the proper drivers for pressure mm-hmm. sensitivity. And it took me a long time to figure out how to get it to work right. But I eventually did. And then I also had to remember to click that button in Photoshop that says, yes, I want to use pressure sensitivity. So that took me another while to figure out, because it's like I was uninstalling drivers, not wondering what's going on. It was like that yep. freaking little button that was never there before. So I was using CS3, and I had later bought CS5.5. I have had a variety of you before it was a copy of Photoshop 7.1, which I used forever. Basically, I was like, I should probably buy this at some point. So I did. I actually own it now. So so moving on from that little thing. So Photoshop, I've been experimenting with. I've been experimenting with Manga Studio 4 actually. And it's not really designed properly for an artist, I think, as far as no. where stuff is and how to figure this out. But I'm still kind of working on that. It's been okay. And I did some sketch comics on my Tumblr for me trying to, okay, I'm going to actually learn how to do this. And it just ended up me getting frustrated. It was like, where can I do the layers? Where can I change the color? Ah! That's where YouTube tutorials are your friend, I will tell you. So, but there's a few things I noticed within using the ThinkPad and comparing it to my Cintiq. Also, I got the decked out everything on the Lenovo ThinkPad, including the battery warranty and the laptop warranty, which is really good because I slipped on some ice 1 year and I broke the screen. So I sent it in and they sent it back. Awesome. I always get the warranty, I would say. And we lost somebody. Well, we'll just wait for them to come back. But so I tried some experiment and drawing with this. And one thing I did notice with the Lenovo ThinkPad, once you start getting towards like the edge of the like within like a like 5 centimeters from the screen's edge, it seems to have a hard time picking up where the pen tip is.
Oh yeah, and yeah, I ran into that.
Yeah, it starts jiggling and stuff like that, and that is a pain in the ass when you're trying to hit like a button. If you're not even if I'm not drawing, like trying to hit the button, if you're in like a full screen thing and you're trying to hit another tab or something like that, you got to basically tilt the pen so it's vertically up and down, perpendicular to the screen. Because with the Wacom pen, it does sense the angle of which you're at too. Sometimes there's like at least like 2 sensors in there, and it's getting confused. Apparently, I'd never had that problem with my 12-inch Cintiq, but apparently for some people on their 12 inches, it also does that. I haven't noticed that myself, but I heard that it's not as much of an issue on the larger Cintiq. So I guess it's sort of a limitation of the tech a little bit. So you just like, you gotta be mindful of that. But I remember the first time I took my Lenovo ThinkPad to work, it was like, this is going to be great. I'm just going to draw on the screen. I pull out the pen, I flip the screen around, put it down, and I like, before I draw anything and I put the pen to the screen, it's like, I have no buttons now. I totally didn't think about buttons for like, I don't know, undo, because I need that a lot. And the Lenovo ThinkPad only has like 1 button on it. Why didn't it have 2? You know, it's like I have my style. It's like, so you have the 1 button to basically pinch and pull around the screen. So you basically have to buy an external keyboard or...
Yeah, I did that. I did that.
And do some... And learn the keys and learn... I have like undo... Okay, it's not undo. It's step backward because undo only goes back and forth versus actually undoing, 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 undoing. So I tied that to an F key. But yeah, that's one oversight, and I think that Yanovlov, what was that one?
Yeah, I think it's Yanova. I think.
Yeah, I don't think they have buttons on the tablet, but the screen itself.
No,
so
they don't. It's actually kind of a pain. I mean, on that now, you use Manga Studio 5. You know, I've got the little undo, but actually, I will say I was a pretty harsh critic of Manga Studio 4. I love 5. I mean, it's very Photoshop like as far as the layout and everything goes.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got the little undo arrows at the top of the page. And in fact, I'm looking at it right now, and you can undo stuff pretty easily. Now, the one thing I don't like about the Yanova, and I don't know if they've corrected this on the new version, is it doesn't have an eraser. Actually, the eraser nub at the top of the pen is how you turn the pen on, because the pen takes batteries.
Okay.
So it's a little weird. So if you want to erase, you actually have to go click the eraser tool, erase, click the pencil tool, go back to drawing.
Yeah.
A little bit of a pain in the butt, you know, compared to, you know, just flipping the pen over and being able to erase.
I never actually do that.
You know, so, I mean, it's cheaper than the Cintiq, but yeah, you don't have any of the buttons. You don't have the, you know, being able to zoom in and out, the touch like that, or shortcuts or anything like that. It's no frills. But for $600 versus $2,000,
right,
I can live with it.
Yeah, there's just all those little, you know, the give and take.
Hello?
Another little option, I mentioned Mark before, with the one he's got, he doesn't have those buttons.
Hello?
He actually created, through a scripting language, these buttons that just float off somewhere on the side of the screen that you can just go over and click on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, Tom.
Got them even though they're not there.
I think we're having an audio issue. Tom, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm there.
Okay.
We're having lots of luck today, huh?
So, well, we're getting towards the end of the show anyway, so hopefully all these problems are not just ganging up on me, but...
Yo.
Hello.
Oh, now that works. Podcast from hell here today, huh?
Well, we're almost done with the recording, and so I think Chris, I don't even know if you remember what you were talking about before now, but Chris was going on a little bit. Do you remember what you were talking about? If there's any more to say?
Yeah, you were talking about not having buttons on the tablet devices, and I was saying the Mark, who I mentioned earlier, had come up with this scripting language for creating on-screen buttons, and he actually created a little palette that you could move and sit anywhere you wanted that gave him the buttons he used most often that weren't easy to get to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, if you find yourself regularly switching, scaling stuff, he had a button for it, scale up and scale down,
mm-hmm.
and he just quickly went over and tapped it rather than having to go into menus or anything. Similarly, at my stylus, I changed the button action from the default to Alt because I found I was always paint bucketing and then wanting to eyedropper. And rather than having to go over and switch tools, I could just hold down the button and there's my eyedropper. And that just speeded up my process.
Right, right. I never realized how much I use Shift, Control, and Alt with, like when you're selecting something and then you're either going to cut or you're going to add or subtract from the selection. You're going to switch from, the eyedropper thing. It becomes second nature that you don't realize until it's gone. And then it's like, well, I have my laptop here at work and I can't do anything with it. But, there's like, if you have like a macro or something like that, cause I have one where it'll do some undercoloring with it. So it's like a whole stepped process. Select the area, extend the area by 2 pixels, fill the area, deselect the area.
Trap your colors.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, some of those options, is this like a custom built thing or is it something that he can share or is there other like programs that we can link for other people or?
I have to dig it up. It was actually in a forum discussing working on tablets, and I'm reading all of these posts, and there's this guy who is developing these things, and he's sharing them, and people are saying, oh, could we have this function or that function? I think he was doing it for Paint Tool Sci or one of the other ones. He had a couple of different programs that it would work for, and it was only I'm reading through, and I'm going, why does this guy sound familiar? And I get to one post, and he names himself. I'm like, it's Mark! Oh, for crying out loud. But yeah, I'll try and dig it up and send you the link to that discussion.
Sure.
And the little thing he built. He also links to the program he used to build it. And I've been looking at that going, okay, but there's 2 functions that he doesn't have that I wish he did. And can I work that up? And again, that's, my hack approach to things.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Well, like I said, to everybody listening, we'll make sure we'll try our best to get all the links to everything we reference into the show notes. Hopefully with what we've discussed thus far, it can give some perspective for some people of where they want to put their investments. Hopefully I'll either be able to add to this show or come up with an additional show that talks about other options that some people may be considering, including the tablets, if we can fish those out in time. If not, this episode already has, I would say, a decent amount of knowledge passed around. If there's something that on this episode that you did not hear that would be good information that either you know or would like to know, go ahead and send us an email at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or make a post in this episode. I will also link to the Facebook webcomic creators post, which I was discussing some of this, and there I don't have it. I didn't get the guy. I haven't contacted. I talked to him a little bit, but there's this guy who reviewed a whole bunch of screen tablets, and I will get that link in the show notes as well because it was very informational. And of course, yeah, when you're looking to drop $1,000, $2,000 and a half on something, you're going to want to know your a little bit more research. So hopefully we've been able to help out. Is there anything else that anybody would like to add to the show before we go ahead and close this off? All right. guys, thanks for being a part of this episode.
Not a problem.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, and you can check out, I'll link Peter Stormageddon's Facebook page. Chris Howard, once again, from agestacomics.com, the Dressed for Success webcomic. Thank you once again.
Thanks for having us.
That's I'm Minnesota goodbye-y, so I apologize for that. And of course, Tom Pratt from Shadowbinders.com.
Hey, thank you.
All right.
One more thing. I love your show. I've been following for a year or so now. Every episode's funny and entertaining and also enlightening. Thank you.
And hopefully smoother.
Yes, smoother and actually recording when I should be. All right. With that, we're going to take our first break. And when we come back, some more people I was able to talk to about their tablet experiences.
The Geek Life Podcast is, get this, a discussion of all things geek. Technology, movies, television, books, comics, games, nothing is off limits. Join Mike, Paul, Richard, and Melissa at The Geek Life Podcast at thegeeklife.tv.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
All right, moving on from screen tablets that you use with a desktop or laptop computer, we're going to take some time to look at some... How do you differentiate from, like, the computer tablets versus, like tablets, like smartphone tablets or whatever. They're both tablets. How do you differentiate?
Oh, I call them slates like they used to be called a decade ago.
Oh, slates. Okay.
Yes. Slates. They just started calling them tablets to confuse people.
Well, confuse the artists anyway, I suppose.
Oh, yes.
So slates. All right. We're going to move on to talking about slates here. I've got Tiffany Ross from Chevet Studios at chevet.net, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes.
Go ahead and tell us about, what you do.
I do a multitude of comics, so I'm actually dedicated to this as a full-time job. So I do everything. That's pretty much it.
You do everything. No, like your creative works, pimp your creative works.
Okay. I do the Cientian Chronicles. That's an Anthro web series.
Mm-hmm.
At cyantian.net, which is cyantian.net. I do Alien Dice, which has been going on for over a decade.
Mm-hmm.
That one's at aliendice.com. I do Abby's Agency with Mark Meeks. That one's at abbysagency.us. I could go on, but all of them are linked from chevet.net.
So, do you ever get any rest? Is it always go for you?
What was that?
Do you get any rest at all? Is it always go for you?
I try to schedule myself 8 hours of sleep a night.
Well, all right. And with that, how much of your current body of work is drawn digitally?
50% of it is. I do all of my pencils on paper because I just have not been able to make that adjustment to doing it solely on a tablet.
Mm-hmm.
I have a tablet PC.
Okay.
I have an HP TouchSmart TM2. But I have a hard time penciling. I do all my inking. I do all of my digital coloring. I do toning. I do all of my lettering.
Mm-hmm.
All on the PCs.
Now, have you tried any other sort of screen tablet computer setup, or is this the only sort of drawing, digital drawing that you've been able to do with a screen anyway?
Like everybody else, you know, I've done the Wacom tablets, the Intuos, and the Graphire. That's what you start with.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved up to a previous HP, which wasn't very good. I think that was a TX 2000. That it lasted me for a couple of years, and then I moved up to this one, so I really haven't done any other systems.
Okay, so you haven't really experienced what a Cintiq is like, or the motion?
Other than playing with one in high school in, like, 93. That was a long time ago.
So are you fairly satisfied with this HP touch PC? Or
yes, it works great.
All right, and you recently picked up a slate, the Samsung Note. So I'd like you to tell me your experience with the Note.
Okay, this is the Samsung Galaxy Note 8.0. It's just the right size for my hands and right size to go into my purse when I leave. Primarily, I use it for scripting and doing some light penciling. I haven't really gotten very far with it. I've managed to find layer paint that works great with it. Some of the other apps, they're not really prepared for it yet. That's one of the problems with Android in general, is that there are not as many apps that take advantage of certain things. And this one does not take, well, the apps out there do not fully take advantage of the 1,000 levels of pressure sensitivity.
Oh.
Which, by the way, is twice as much as my tablet PC has. Yeah, I was a little surprised to read that. So it should be able to do some pretty phenomenal things. I have software on here that I'm just waiting for updates with. Mm-hmm. Well, apps. It's this one, you know, it has an 8-inch screen. It's pretty light. It works great. It comes on, snaps right on. It uses power pretty minimally. Charges fast. When I draw with it, the pen's great. But you have to go online and figure out, you know, all the little tricks to use it with. There you have to like turn on the pen at times. It does have a Wacom pen. It's a Wacom digitizer.
Okay. So it's got that tech in it.
Yeah. Feasibly, yes, I can go in here. I can start penciling comics. I can ink comics. There's, an app called Infinite Canvas that I could be using. That one's a little unstable at the moment, but I can also just do them panel by panel in this layer paint. If I wanted to, you know, I could do a whole comic in one.
So you're saying layer. Sorry, my phone just... are you saying Layer Paint is an app that you're using? Or is that...
Yes,
just...
Layer Paint is very good. It's been the most stable. It has great pressure sensitivity. It just is going to take some getting used to drawing on a slightly smaller screen.
Okay.
It's it has the exact same dimensions as my tablet PC. It's a 1280 by 800 screen resolution.
Okay.
And unlike most Android tablets, it keeps everything open when you open them. It keeps running programs in the background, so you can switch back and forth. You can open multiple windows next to each other, which is really nice and convenient.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it's only limited to 20 different apps that it can open at the moment. I'm sure they're going to expand that because people have been asking for it for a while.
Mm-hmm. What are some other apps that you have tried on that particular tablet or slate?
Let's see. I've used... Well, get past my screen of games. Right now, I use OneNote primarily. OneNote's been an awesome program that I use on my PC, so I wanted to be able to easily sync things back and forth.
Okay, I kind of meant drawing apps.
Drawing apps. Okay. This one's a little bit different. It's called a floor plan creator.
Okay.
It is a card app, but it's a very useful one for laying out plans, you know, for stuff. And it's nice to be able to do something like that on the go. It's very simple. I've used Sketchbook Mobile,
mm-hmm,
and Sketchbook, I believe it's Pro on here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it hasn't been upgraded to work with the newer stylus. It's still, you know, it works great with the Note 10.1, but not with the 8.0 yet. But they seem to update it pretty frequently.
Okay.
See, there was Infinite Design and Infinite Painter. Those were interesting, but they're not very stable.
Mm-hmm.
I use Pose Tool. And I have loaded Human Anatomy on here. It's another program for looking at the body and being able to use it to draw with.
Oh yeah, I've been looking at a couple of apps like that for my smartphone. I found this one called Handy.
Yes, I've seen that one.
Yeah, and all these different types of hand poses and three different lights that you can change with different colors and rotate it around. And you know, like no more awkwardly holding your hand away from your phone to try to take a picture of it so you can draw it.
Oh, yes. That's great. It's one that I need to go and download.
Yeah, it's only like $2, but it's well worth it.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Oh, when I bought this, I actually got a $25 gift card to the Google Play Store.
Oh, cool.
So it was a nice little bonus considering how much it was.
Mm.
It's a little bit pricey, but this is also my first tablet. Now, right now it's showing up as $390 on Amazon. I picked mine up at Best Buy.
Mm.
But for what it is, and since this is my only tablet, I don't have a dedicated reader or anything. It works great. It also replaces my LiveScribe pen.
Okay. So I think with this one, it sounds like it's still fresh and new. Yes. I wasn't sure if it was you or somebody else that posted on the Webcomic Creators Facebook page, which is where I've been getting a lot of people from, talking about their tablet experience. And somebody did mention having trouble with Surface Pro, saying that Photoshop didn't really work all that well on it, and they returned it right away.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I really didn't want to get one. I could have gotten one to replace my laptop with, because my laptop's coming around to that time.
Right, right.
But actually, I got the Note instead. I'm going to get a Note, and I'm going to get a Gigi Nova, and I'm going to replace it that way.
I'll probably want to hear an update on that down the road. But I'm going to try to talk to somebody else who's gotten the Surface Pro and says, like, no, you don't want to use Photoshop. You want to use Sketchbook Pro. And he's going on that it's a great thing. So I'm going to see if I can get him on.
Everything on it exactly the same as soon as they update their drivers.
All right. We'll go ahead and look into that later. Hopefully I can get them. If not, this will be an awkwardly ending show. But Tiffany, I do thank you very much for taking some time and talking to me about your Samsung Note experience. And hopefully the drivers will keep on updating and better improve it. But it sounds like it's at least good. Can you export? How do you export
everything to Dropbox?
Okay.
It came with 200 gigabytes of Dropbox space for 2 years.
Oh, cool. The Note did as a...
Yes, it did.
Interesting. I don't think I could afford that much looking at Dropbox prices.
No,
but
that's expensive.
yeah. But they try to get you in there with that free.
Well, before this, I couldn't figure out what Dropbox was good for.
Okay, so you export everything like that. So that's pretty good. And even with that, if you just get the free Dropbox.
It works great. And plus, this you can put an SD card in it. So you can have as many SD cards as you want, little micro SD ones.
Mm-hmm.
And it holds them up to 64 gigs. So it's like infinitely expandable.
Right, right. Well, all right. All right. So I'm not going to keep waiting to put this episode out for like all the other tablets that are going to be coming out. So I'm going to get this out there as soon as possible. And we'll look to make an update to this episode sometime into the future, if not on the Webcomic Beacon, on the website at webcastbeacon.com with a general article or something. But so that's something to look forward to. Once again, Tiffany Ross from Chevet Studios at Chevet.net. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you.
All right, this is already getting to be a long episode, but hopefully there's a lot of great information that has been brought up to help you make a decision on the type of screen tablet you want to be looking for in the future or to invest in now. I'm going to be closing off the episode with talking with Ben Carver from Animation Aficionados and Kitty Hawk from Sparkling Generation Valkyrie Yuki. So thank you both for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I did want to get with Ben specifically because he's one of the few people that I actually saw that has purchased a Surface Pro and did not return it and is actually really liking it, especially since, go ahead and tell me your experience because I think your main experience has been with not using Photoshop to begin with and using what program?
I'm using Sketchbook Pro, but Photoshop does have WinTab support now. The drivers put out a couple weeks ago, so WinTab support is there. And what actually pushed me to getting the Surface Pro was I was looking at different reviews by webcomic artists and comic artists. One was actually by one of the guys from Penny Arcade said he got a demo Surface Pro, and he loved the experience. And another person had a similar experience. I found two reviews by people who said the Surface Pro is a viable draw-as-you-go option. And the biggest thing, what I was looking for, was the ability to draw on a screen. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at the Cintiq, and the Cintiq was around the same price range, but it wasn't as portable.
Oh, no, no.
So for me, I was like, I'd pay the extra couple $100 for something that had a computer built into it, as well as a drawing screen that had, and I love it. And I've shown Kitty Hawk my work that I was able to do in it. Mm-hmm. And it very, very, very closely mimics my inking style with a brush. So I think that overall, it does what I want to do. It lets me draw without having to purchase Bristol board.
Okay, so and when you're looking, when you were comparing, what size Cintiq were you comparing to? Comparing
the 13-incher.
The 13-incher. How big is the screen on the Surface Pro?
It's 10 inches, but okay. Honestly, I don't, because I never handled the Cintiq, I don't miss inches. So
avoiding a joke here. Have you had experience with screen tablets elsewhere?
I have used other screen tablets, but they didn't really have the same. Well, Samsung has one as well, but the stylus is a joke. it's like a phone stylus,
kind of big and clunky and odd.
No, it's like thin and small and telescopes and
oh, a telescope.
Like DS sized.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh. And before then, I did have a Bamboo, but I immediately stopped using it after a week of attempts, because a Bamboo is one where you have to look at the screen and draw on a different surface. Yeah.
I could only color with a non-screen tablet. I couldn't draw for crap.
But I could not use the Bamboo, so part of it was also I didn't like the pen on the Bamboo. The Surface has a great pen. It's about the same thickness and size as my mechanical pencil.
Okay.
And it works great. Like I said, I use Autodesk Sketchbook Pro, which is only $50, has a 14-day usage trial, which means you can use it for 14 non-consecutive days.
Ah, that's pretty cool. I like that. So you can get a really good feel for it. Now, because this is, it's not specifically tablets, but it's still very important. Tell us a bit about how Sketchbook Pro is different from a user experience, from a comic creator experience, than Photoshop, just so we can get a comparison for people out there considering options.
Sketchbook Pro is much more for you want to draw on a screen versus you want to add filters and touch up photography or do full out web design. Sketchbook Pro isn't designed to do full out, you know, graphic design. Sketchbook Pro is designed for pen input primarily. You create your canvas size, mm-hmm. and you just start drawing, and it has lots of pen centric controls. Like if you select the magnifying glass tool, you have a circle that shows up whenever you press your pen down and lets you zoom in, zoom out, or move around the screen with the pen versus trying to do it with like the old fashioned Photoshop, you know, grab tool or Photoshop magnifying glass. So it's much more touch-centric user experience, in my opinion.
Tell me about the UI, because I know my Photoshop, there's a lot of goddamn windows that open, but I do use all the windows. I did customize the UI a bit. So tell me about the UI of Sketchbook Pro.
You have brushes palette, and you have a toolbar at the bottom. You have what looks like an inkwell, which lets you change the color. And the toolbar on the bottom lets you choose between the magnifying glass, the regular line tool. And one of my favorite tools is the ruler, where you get to select two points for the ruler to be straight. And then with pressure sensitivity, you can create a line that goes from thick to thin or thin to thick, but depending on how you press and depress the pen when you want to draw that line. And
I like that idea. I like that. Now as far as like Photoshop, you can do all this sorts of stuff, and probably Photoshop is overkill for probably most web cartoonists, as far as they're never going to use every single feature in Photoshop for their comic. But for Sketchbook Pro, Is it something you can totally finish your comic in? Maybe not just for the web, but also if you wanted to print, or do you have to use another program to do some finalizations?
You can. You can. It does have the text tools, and you can create bubbles and stuff, but I wouldn't recommend it because I'm just used to doing that kind of finishing in Illustrator, but that's my personal preference.
Okay.
And honestly, there are the tools that do work perfectly well on the Surface Pro. Like I said, Photoshop has full support now if you want to use that. Mm-hmm. But other tools that are great are Manga Studio, which I actually did want to try, but Manga Studio wanted a credit card number before it would let me use the free trial. So I was like, nope, not going to use it, not going to try it.
Aww, that's too bad. It's a good program, though.
Even Adobe does that.
Well, so, that's a recent thing, and I do think it's shit, but, you know, I won't go into what you should do instead.
We can actually have a whole episode on software another time, and that is something I'm hoping to do coming this fall, so...
Like I said, it's $50 for a tool that lets you do, like, 80% of the comic work is not... insane, especially if you already spent about over $1,000 on the tablets, like $50 bucks, big deal.
We'll go into more software either later this summer or this fall. I'm going to jump over to Kitty Hawk, who has just purchased a Cintiq HD. What is it?
It's the Cintiq 24 HD. It was released, I believe, last year. Okay, so I have actually been using tablets since about 2003. My first was a Graphire 3, I believe, and I purchased it because I had always wanted to do digital inking, but it just wasn't possible with a mouse. I actually tried on multiple occasions, but just, you know, it just wasn't there. So I bought one of these, and I let my ink pens dry out, and I switched over to using a tablet because it was cheaper in the long run, and also if you fuck up, well... and you just hit Control Z and you're ready to go. And so I've also had an Intuos 3. I had the I had a larger one, and I also had a smaller one. And I've also used one of the Toshiba ones that was around in, like, I believe 2006, 2007, back when they were attempting to do tablets. And it was interesting, and it definitely was really cool, but it wasn't quite there yet. And I've also used an iPad and an Android with the little stylus things that they brought out that, like, have the, you know, conductive material.
But no sensitivity, right?
They're just not there. And I haven't gotten to play around with the new one that was from Pogo, but I haven't heard any good reviews. So, but anyway, getting back to the Cintiq, my problem is I can actually draw, like, with my hand and then look at the screen, like with the Intuos. But my vision is progressively getting worse. So I had to switch over to a Cintiq because I was actually injuring my hand as I was hunching over the screen and having to bring the tablet closer to my body so that I could do that. And so I said, it's just time. I have to get a Cintiq. And so I actually had the 12-incher for a while. And I actually sold that right before I came to Australia because I wasn't going to bother with trying to bring it and then trying to get a cable for it and all that. I just said, fuck it. I've been wanting to get the bigger one. So, and I loved my little 12 inch, but let me tell you, that 24 inch is just fucking awesome. Okay. So here's the deal. The thing is that it is, in Australia, it is, $2,700. It is cheaper in the United States as everything is. And it is a beautiful thing. Like, you've got a nice big area to work. It's got nice little buttons. It doesn't have quite as many buttons as the 12 inch did, which I'm just like, lol, what? But it does have those nice little wheels so that you can do things like zoom in easily or rotate the image or change the brush size. So it's really nice because you're not having to, you know, go click that and, you know, or like to Zoom, you're going to have to click something. So it's really nice to have the wheels. I have played with the touch version, and that's even nicer because like you can then like push things on the screen, but I didn't get a lot of experience with that. So I'm not a big expert on that. But as far as like software, I primarily use Manga Studio. I don't agree with the giving a credit card to do the trial. And in fact, they actually did fuck me over when I did do the trial because any work you do in the trial version cannot be taken to the full version. So I did an entire chapter of a comic and I couldn't export it and I couldn't port it into the new version. So I lost that entire issue.
Wow.
But that said, the original people who made it, because this is Smith Micro that did that. Smith Micro is who publishes Manga Studio.
Right.
Anyway, so, but it's a good program. I'd say it's probably one of the best inking programs out there. I've heard Sai is very good, but unfortunately that's only Windows, and I'm in Mac world. So I would say Manga Studio is probably the best. And I actually have to say that my art has improved since I got the Cintiq.
I think it has too.
Yeah, and like the thing is
yeah,
that
you it's sucked because before.
I can see better. I can see a lot better. Yeah. And that's partly because, like I said, my vision is getting worse. So it's good to be able to work direct and I'm not having to crush my hand.
Right. And
like, would I recommend this to someone? Well, I wouldn't recommend it to someone who is just sort of, you know, casually into art, unless you've got a lot of money, or someone who's just starting out, unless you have a lot of money.
You can find it on some pretty good sales. You just got to keep your eyes out. I got my copy of Manga Studio for less than $100.
For Manga Studio, you can actually get it for $90 from a teacher supply store if you're a student. So that's the way you should buy it if you're still a student.
Or just keep an eye on Amazon, really. I mean, I think I paid $50 for mine.
Yeah, you can get it for pretty cheap. I get the EX version because it comes with the 3D modeling tools. And we can talk about that during the software.
We'll do that. We'll do that. But
getting back to the Cintiq, I would only recommend this unless if you're getting started, I really recommend you get one of the smaller tablets like a Bamboo or the Intuos. Just because you probably don't know like what you're really into yet, if you're going to really like this or not. And so play around with one of those. And then maybe you can graduate to the Cintiq when you've gotten into it a little bit more. And it's a great tool. Now, getting back to the Surface Pro, though, Wacom has actually announced that they are working on their own standalone tablet. And I'm actually very interested in seeing this because the problem with the Surface Pro and the reason I wouldn't get one is it has less resolution and not as much tilt control as the Cintiq. So it would be basically a step back for me. And also it uses Windows.
But it is also highly portable. That's the thing.
It is highly portable. But my issue is that I expect a certain level of performance and right. Windows does not provide that.
Right. I mean, honestly, it's like you could take it around for sketching, but you'd probably want to export to your desktop to do the inking.
No, that's not true. I do my full inking on the Surface Pro. And I've actually been able to finish a whole comic. You know, I started.
He does a very good job, but like the thing is that I am used to a certain level. So it's going to be hard for me to go back is the issue. Now, I don't know what the Wacom's going to have. I really don't know. No one knows anything about this thing. They only just gave like a thing on their Facebook page saying we're working on a standalone tablet this summer. And
I'm surprised they haven't been working on it
like
already.
Late September, but you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
Linux.
I'm really hoping that it's a Linux machine. It's Linux based. Because if it is Linux-based, I probably will try to find a decent inking program in Linux. And what I really would hope for is that eventually someone is going to make like a comic program. As Linux becomes more prevalent, and thanks to Steam, that I think that's going to become so. Mm-hmm. I think that there will be more like creation tools under Linux. It's just now that reason it's under Windows and Mac is just traditional because those were the biggest platforms. Mac because artists mostly used it, and Windows because like every goddamn person had one.
So,
but yeah, that's like I said,
but that's software.
Yeah,
but like I said, my experience has always been good, and I've always heard good things about Cintiqs. It's okay. Just I didn't want to spend that much money for just a screen.
And that's the biggest point for this episode is to get people's opinions and experiences so people can make an educated guess. And that's the thing about this high-end equipment. It is resellable. I mean, it's like, Kitty Hawk, you were able to sell your Cintiq. And I'm pretty sure...
I sold it to one of my readers, and I signed it for him, too. So that was really cool.
Right
it
across the screen.
It has a picture of Mickey on the back of it.
Awesome.
Yeah,
and I got about half of what I paid for it. So, yeah. I mean, and this is with the knowledge that there was going to be probably a refresh within about a few months. And actually, the refresh actually happened a few months ago. So,
all right. So I'm going to close off all the tablet and software discussions now. Hopefully people got a really good idea. If you have any more comments, you can leave comments or questions. You can leave them in the comments section of this episode post. We'll probably do a follow up. If the Wacom alternative comes out in time, I might just piggyback that onto the software episode as we'll do later this fall. I'm going to bring you both back because you both have your own softwares that you cling to here. So we'll have you on for those softwares. You'll represent. Is what
you're
doing.
All right. I got my tool chain.
And like I said, if only Manga Studio didn't ask for a damn credit card number, I would have tried
also,
it out.
Right.
I will bring up that Manga Studio does have limitations during that show.
Yeah. And one last thing I did want to mention, it was mentioned before, motion computing was mentioned before. It's a standalone PC tablet.
Leap Motion?
What?
Leap Motion?
Standalone?
No, it was motion computing or something like that.
Yeah, Leap Motion is what you're talking about. Leap Motion is
basically...
Did they
change the name of it?
Leap Motion has always been the name of it.
No. I'm talking about motion computing PC tablets. They're called motion computing.
Is this where you're drawing not on a screen, but almost like in the air?
That's Leap Motion.
No, motion computing. It's a tablet PC is what it is. It's a laptop that's not a laptop. It's the screen and you draw on it and you can go to the desktop and you can load programs.
I've seen that.
Yeah. I do want to mention that there were a couple of people that are in my local group that have like my local comics group that swear by it. And the thing that they'll really swear by, they've purchased basically refurbished used versions of it from a place called gamesaver.com, I think. Really, really cheap. And it was a very good alternative that they swear by, and they do a lot of their portable work with it. So I just wanted to make sure that gets put out there as well. And so once again, this is it for the very, very extra long screen tablet episode of the Webcomic Beacon. And like I said, I'm going to be working to put together a software comparison episode for this fall when we go through the grand finale of the Webcomic Beacon, or the semifinale, depending on how you want to look at it. Once again, I do want to thank once again Ben from Animation Aficionados.
Thank you.
And Kitty Hawk from Sparkling Generation Valkyrie Yuki.
Thank you for having me, Sparkling Generation Valkyrie Yuki, SGBY.com. Sexy fun. You'll love it.
And a reminder to work on your elevator pitch there if you don't have one like Kitty Hawk. I have been Fess from the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com.